2:16. I'll read the whole verse. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God. So it goes here, it says, as bond servants of God, we got something to do. It goes on to tell us there in verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So as bond servants of God, we've got stuff to do. Says we're to honor everyone, not just the ones that we feel like should deserve honor. We need to be honoring everyone. And I know Justin talked about, you know, his dad there, real short. And all of us can reflect back on our childhood, and there might have been some things that our parents didn't want us to do. And, you know, we didn't really like it at the time. And we really didn't want to give them the honor they was due at the time. But as we look back on it, we see what they is trying to accomplish. And we're told, of course, over there, Exodus 20 and verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God is giving you. So it tells us that we should be honoring our mother and father. And and honor those in authority as well. In the book of Romans, Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, and it says, let every soul be subject to the government authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resist the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So we need to be careful. God will avenge us if we are practicing things wrong in his sight. If we're at work, we need to recognize who's in authority. Even though your boss might be there for a week, a year or two, you got 30 years on it. You know, he's the one in charge. If he's the boss, he's the one in charge. And that's who we need to respect. And in doing so, we give glory and honor to God. I think I'm ready for the first five. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So there are certain things we should fear, and there are certain things we should honor as well. Over there also, and I probably should have done this first, but right there in Romans 12, 9 through 21, it talks about Christians living transformed lives. And as we look into these verses, I don't think it'll hurt us. It'll always help us to read through them. And you'll see things that we need to be wary of as Christians going forward. there in, I'll be reading the whole chapter there at 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And presenting our bodies, we need to not only act in a way that would be honoring God, or in the things that we say, but the things that we wear also is in something that will be honoring God as well. There in verse 2, and it tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So just because the world is doing something doesn't mean we have to do it. If it's something that we know is wrong, we're going to have to get away from it. It might take something like Joseph did. He ran from Potiphar's wife. But he didn't, you know, and that, if it takes that, you know, it's something we got to make the right choice on in our lives. For I say, through grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think highly more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And I'm not going to get into a bunch of this, because in one of my coming up lessons, I talked about, you know, you're not supposed to be high-minded, or I can't remember the word it used, but we're supposed to not think real highly of what we're doing. We're supposed to humble ourselves, be humble before God. For we as many members in one body, but all of the members do not have the same function. So each of us has certain abilities that we can do for God. And remember, the word do is something we can do for God. It's not what God can do for us. If we do so-and-so for God, He'll bless us in the end. And so we, being many, are one body in Christ, as individual members of one accord, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. It says that there, let us use them. So we need to use the gifts God has given to us. If prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or minister, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. I was weeding this evening, and there's a guy, he's been singing, I don't know if it's some country singer, he's been singing for like, I don't know, 20-something years, Christian somebody. I don't know much of his songs, but he said he was giving it all up and going to start ministry. And that's going to be a big change for him. And I didn't say, you know, where he's going to start ministry now. But, and they was building up like it was big now. And he could be the Lord's church, but he's going to make a big change in his life. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy and cheerfulness. We don't all want to be Napoleons. And what I mean by that is, Napoleon, every time I see something on him, he's standing in front of the boat. He's never rowing. He's never doing anything. He's just standing in front of the boat. So we don't want to be like Napoleon and just be standing there. Or not doing anything. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. and especially in this world we live in today, we need to cling to what is good. A lot of times, people, and some of y'all's workplaces might have started this. Before they'll hire you, you got to pass some kind of test. And if you don't pass the test, you don't get hired. And this test is something that's not even dealing with the job that we're working at. It's a few tape measure questions on there. But a lot of it, and I had a nephew. Leanne's gone back here. Nephew come down there the other day, and as far as I know, I think he failed the test. And his dad was wanting to get him home down there. And he asked me if I could do anything about it. I said, no. He said, I can't do nothing about that. I said, I wished I could, but I said, everybody that comes in the door's got to take that test. Well, his daddy passed it, and you know, numerous people passed it. But for some reason, he didn't pass it. And so, I'm not sure that it is a good thing to have, because they said, well, what if y'all old guys go back and take the test? And I said, well, I'd probably score 100. And they said, no, you wouldn't. And I've never seen the test. But there's a lot of people pass it, a lot of people don't, for some reason. And they think it's important. It's important to them to have, they think they're bringing in smarter people. And their number one priorities down there used to be getting stuff out the door. That's switched. Number one priority at our work is safety. There was a guy, Henry, I know Steve and Justin knows. He was mopping a plate the other day, and he reached up under it, and there was a burr on that plate, and it just sliced his finger open. Well, when you do that, you got to get on the phone, cause him stitches and stuff. And he was supposed to be wearing safety gloves. And I said, Henry, what you do with your safety gloves? Well, I took him and threw him away. He said, I wanted to see if it had a cut in it. I thought, who goes and throws your safety gloves away after they get cut? Most of them goes to wash it off. But I don't know. But anyway, I don't understand some of the things the world's, you know, thinking of at this time and age. It says we're to be. It's something we can all work on for God to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor and preference to one another. That's all, not only here at this church, but that's outside of here too. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on the high things, but associate with the humble. Like we talked about earlier, do not be wise in your own opinion. Sure, we all might have opinions, just like we have an opinion at work, but on maybe doing something. We might have an opinion on how we might present a lesson. But as long as you're doing it the way God would have us to do it, it's all right. Don't let our opinions, like I might have an opinion, like the carpet here, just say we want to change. You know, and it's like a big disagreement. That really is nothing to have, you know, a fuss about or be opinionated about. But as long as it's something that a spiritual matter, then, you know, we need to take it to God's word. But if it's not, you know, it's just something that we need to either get over or sweep under the rug, or what do you say, have thicker skin about, or, you know, different things like that. And it says, repay no one evil for evil, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And that's a big thing. You see all of these things going on now with shootings all the time. It seems, this guy at work, he said, well, you heard about that big shooting the other day, didn't you? I said, no. And this was like 5 o'clock yesterday morning. I thought he said it happened Monday in Louisville when those people got killed. I told him, I said, no, I didn't see that, you know. And but things like that, and most of the time, I don't know if it happened in this, but like I said, I never noticed. Most of the time, those people were cowards. They'll turn around and kill themselves because they want to hurt somebody, but they don't want to face the consequences in the end. And we see our world's full of evil things and evil-minded people. It says, to verse 18, to live peaceably with all men is something we need to do. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And it tells us there in the last verse, do not overcome, be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So if somebody's mean or in some ways to you, don't think about how you can get them back. Think about how you can just say, they wouldn't be expecting you to, you know, say good morning to them or be nice to them. And all of a sudden, you know, you might get them to think about, you know, what they're doing. They might be doing something wrong. So that's all I had on honor.
Thomas, yeah. Can I add something real quick on honor? It is interesting, and I don't know if I have the answer for why, but I can't remember if I read it in this booklet here or somewhere else where it was saying like what the lion is to the animal kingdom, the eagle is to the birds. And I like on page 8 of the book, on the top paragraph, it said, today the eagle resides in the coat of arms of at least 25 different countries. In the mind of man, the eagle has forever stood out from other species that occupy the skies above. So somehow God has put this characteristic, like you said, of honor within it that we're able to recognize. And all cultures, different countries across this globe.
Yeah, there, matter of fact, there was 2 days ago, Stacy brought up a picture up there, and there's an eagle that's living out there around them or toward them somewhere. And she had a picture of it, and you could see it, and I'll tell you in a minute more about, you know, I think they've got to be 5 years of age, 5 years old to become to look like it. You might have seen eagles at other times and not even know they're eagles because of what they look like. But that's a beautiful picture of what, you know, she showed. So if you had time, you might find out from her where it's at and drive out there. They see it out there all the time. And I think Leanne seen one, her and Haley, I think seen one up the road here, up toward Bowling Green one day. And as far as I know, I don't think I've seen one in a while. Seen a lot of red-tailed hawks, but not
in Ohio Lake in Tennessee. They got a big eagle camp. They got a family in the river, and Logan, I think, is Palestine deals, but you can see them every year on webcam.
Have you seen the latest polls though? He's missed.
Oh, no.
So that gave you some kind of turnaround around it then?
Yeah. Oh, you can go on just all the time. I can tell how old people can. The last slide.
Yeah, I don't think that has. I've heard of Dale Hollow, but yeah, I've never been down there.
Talk about changing colors and that, it does
forever
for them to come out.
Yeah.
Like
that. Do you have anything to say? Anybody else got anything? And I'll sort of hit these last three in one clash. Pride, it kind of like if we was doing our work and we accomplished the work we set out to do, it gives us pride in doing what we've done. But we shouldn't be prideful. In other words, you know, that pride I was talking about in your work is different from thinking highly of yourself, or highly of our abilities, and or feeling that you're better than others. And we don't want to be ones like that. And we know that God hates pride. Over in Proverbs 11. Verse 2, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. So we gain wisdom if we're humble. If you've ever done something or thought you was, I remember this one time I built this dog up and I thought he was really going to do real good. This guy was wanting to buy it. And I took that dog out and he didn't act like nothing that I'd said he did. Well, then I went, you know, that made me look like a liar. And it really wasn't my fault, but what I'd seen from him, and then just that day, it could have been a bad day. I don't know. But, and of course, that guy, you know, he decided not to take him. Also, there in Proverbs 16 and verse 5, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. So we need to be careful. The Lord hates a proud heart. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. So there will be a number. Because of just being prideful, God's going to punish them. There in 16:18, it tells us, Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. The next thing that the eagle possesses is determination. Of course, when he's hunting, and we'll sort of look on that. When he comes after the prey, there's nothing else that this eagle is going to change his mind. He's going after that prey. He's going to have determination to do that. Just like we determine, we need to have determination on being at church. We need to have determination on being at gospel meetings. And over in 1 Corinthians First Corinthians 9, there 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all race, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you might obtain it. So we're all in the same race together. We're after the crown of life, which has been promised to us if we're faithful to the end. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. The NBA playoffs is coming up. Well, their crown that they're after is perishable. The trophies that I won in playing ball, the trophies that my dogs have won, they're all perishable. There's only one trophy that really counts. That's the imperishable crown. Therefore, I run this not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Like if you're running and you just, as far as I can recollect, y'all might know more on this than I, there was only one running back, I think, in the NFL that ever run upright. Most running backs get down low, but this running back, he would always run upright, Eric Dickerson. And he, to the day, he owns the all-time rushing title. But just like an NFL player, but I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. So if we don't follow God's correctly and to obtain the crown that awaits us, we can disqualify ourselves along the way by sinning and separating ourselves from God. Anybody got anything? Next.
I just thought of something you may mention a fair amount, but I'm thinking that usually people will fly alone. They won't be in flocks like other birds. And I was just thinking that a lot of times in our Christian walk, we may have to feel like we're walking alone because we're supposed to be separate, holy. And you know how they let these eagles fly in the stadiums, you know, and they loop them over that to the trainer. I was just thinking, when they do that, all the eyes are on that eagle. Everybody's watching that eagle make its pass. And I think in our lives, we need to be shining lights. People need to be watching us and watching our lives. Kind of the same way.
Yeah, we've got to work our own salvation out with our own prayer and trembling. We can't work out. I can't work out Leanne's salvation. She can help me with mine, but she's got to do God's will herself, just as the eagle, like she said. It does fly alone. She took one of my bullets. I won't make it look like that. It's okay. And finally, grace is defined as undeserved favor. So, grace cannot be earned, but it is something that was freely given. And we see the grace and beauty that God is giving this bird. It says there in Romans 6:14 that, "For sin shall no longer be your master because you're not under the law, but under the grace." We're not under the old law, we're under the new law. And also in John, John 1, there in 14 through 17. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness to him and cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Of course, that John 1:15 is closely related to John 1:1. So that the one thing given to us by Christ was his blood that cleanses us of our sins. Has anybody got anything? All right. So we looked at these things about the eagle. I'm going to talk a little bit about the eagle now. And the eagle has been serving us as the American national bird since 1789. Now, it symbolizes the United States on many government buildings, the dollar bill, and many official documents. And over, we read some of the verses here, and we talked about these. I think Steve hit on this Exodus 19:4. We talked a little bit about this already. We'll look at it again on 19:4. "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." That's a great picture of an eagle, and like everybody, all the Israelites was on his back, and it's like they were flying out like some majestic picture on how the eagle was representing God and his love and care toward Israel. Yes.
If I can touch on to that.
Yeah.
So obviously there's that one, and then there's the Isaiah 40:29-31, where it says that he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might increases in strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they shall wait on the Lord. The Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. So again, another allusion to God lifting up his people with eagle's wings. And then I like the Revelation 12:14 passage about the church, when it is to be persecuted, that he depicted it as a woman given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place. So I found this really neat picture that went viral. I forget which state the photographer found it in, where this crow and the eagle were not fighting with each other, but indeed it was being borne up on eagle's wings and going for a ride. And so evidently, you know, Israelites, others would have seen such pictures and recognized the idea of God, the mighty and powerful one, they, the small one, and needing his assistance, and they can go wherever they needed to go.
That's a good picture. Matter of fact, I didn't state put that picture in on his own. I didn't know nothing about that. That's a good picture. It goes along with it. Anybody else? Over in Deuteronomy 32:11 is another verse. "As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings." Now, eagles, when they have young, how they pick their mate is, I wish I could see it. The female will take a stick and she'll fly up to like 8,000-10,000 feet, and she'll drop that stick. The male's duty at the time is to go get it. And he's got to get the stick, take it back to her. And then she gets lower. Each time she drops it, she gets lower. And she wants to make sure if something was to happen to those eaglets, if they were to fall out, that he would be able to get them and take them back. And also, the babies, usually they'll have about three. Some of them had, I remember I'd have pigeons, and this sort of happened the same way as pigeons. Well, these eaglets, when they're growing up, usually the ones with the loudest mouth, loudest squeak, or whatever that squawk, is the ones, or the biggest ones, they're going to get the food. And if they get a lot more food than the younger ones, they just go ahead and decide, and this is bad, but they'll go ahead and decide just to kill it. Kill the young one. Get rid of it. And I know on pigeons, when I raised them, if the mom had two baby pigeons, squawked, they would, not all the time, but most of the time, the weaker chick would be pushed out by the mom, out of the nest. Now, I'll leave that alone for now until I get on into it. I got some more on that. So we know the eagles considered the king of the sky, as we said the other day. And, there's another bird they say that rivals the eagle, that'd be the condor. And which is a mighty bird as well. And you can see its sharp talons there. Not only that, they have excellent eyesight. Their strength for their size, as I was looking through some pictures the other day, this one swooped down and grabbed a hold of a fox, a small fox, and he was going to take it. Just like we talked about the pronghorn the other day, one of its animals is the eagle. Now, their enemies is probably only other eagles, because there's nothing out there that king of the sky. There's really nothing else besides another eagle. So they're very successful. Steve hit on this. Eagles are displayed on flags of different countries in Albania, Mexico, Serbia. Steve just brought that Moldova. That is the they're on their flag. Egypt, the Virgin Islands, of course, the Navy and the Army. I was talking to Tim about that. I'm pretty sure those two. You figure the Marines would be there too. But I didn't see anything. I mean, they're probably symbolic somehow. They're like a patch or something you earn, or something like on a jacket or something. And it says the eagle's grip is 10 times more powerful than our hands. So however hard you can grip, their grip is 10 times more powerful. They are high flyers. They fly around in something that's known as thermals. Now, when they come up to they're getting inside. The eagle's one of the birds that never has to worry about a storm because they can fly above it. And not only when they get above it, they can stay up there for long periods of time because they don't waste their strength. They can glide in them thermals for a number of periods of time. I was telling somebody over here, I think it's behind McDonald's, I seen some buzzards flying around. And it might have been just one. I seen a bunch today, but at that time it was like one. In that whole time, or you know, I might have watched him for like 5 minutes. He never flapped his wing. He just flew around, just gliding around. And that's much like the eagle would do too. Of course, now he, like I said, he's going to be a lot higher than these other birds. Now, this next point I'm going to bring up.
I was going to mention, if it flies above the storms, it makes me, again, think about this, of God being able to bear us up through the storms, above the storms. He's not afraid of the storms where we might be. And so it's neat.
Now I'll end on this, and then Sunday I'll begin with some facts about the eagle. I got a few facts I'll share some of them with you. I've always heard this, and you can raise your hand if you've heard it too. Well, it's said that Benjamin Franklin didn't want the eagle, Stephanie's is back there like him. Benjamin Franklin didn't want the eagle as the national bird. He was wanting the wild turkey to be the national bird because he had seen the eagle come down and steal a catch from the osprey, which had been a clean catch, but the eagle took it from him. And he said, I don't think that should be our national bird because of that. Now, when I dug into it, I believed that all my life. I said, yeah, wild turkey. But they say now it's a myth. That's what they said the other night when I looked it up. They said that it's a myth. That's so like Pluto not being a planet. Or it was while I was in school, and it wasn't, and now it's back again. And so I'm not going to say 100% sure. Y'all have to just look it up yourself and see about that. But I'll end there tonight. Thank you for comments and attention. We'll get in about some facts. And then I'll just...
Yeah, just one quick comment. And I don't know how you weave all this into some of the scriptural references, but one of the things that really stands out to me about the eagle is its intelligence. And maybe that's not talked about enough. I've seen different clips or little brief snippets, footage of eagles and what they will do. So for instance, you might see how they'll go after the mountain goats, and they'll just pull one right off and let it fall, and then they'll get the free meal after that. Or I even seen when a baby deer fawn was crossing a river, here comes this eagle to drown it, basically, get on top of it. And then there was also a footage I saw of an eagle at a zoo that was using some meat to bait a heron on the other side of the fence there, and the heron was trying to get the meat, and the eagle went down with one of its talons there on its beak, nearly had an even bigger meat. So it's interesting just how smart they are, and we can learn to be quick-witted like that too.
You know, like you brought up that, I'll finish on this, you brought up that about him drowning that baby fawn. Yeah. Well, coonhounds, when they go into the water that's too deep, they got to be careful if they go in after that raccoon, because that raccoon will get on top of their heads and keep their heads underwater in that deep water while the dog's trying to swim. They won't be able to breathe. They'll get disoriented. And now what my old dog would do, he'd go out there and just drag him and then turn and start swimming. But if they get out on their back, get on top of their head, they could kill a dog by drowning. It's like Justin said, the eagle gun on the paper.